our own instance of Airflow, we know that with the M chart that we can deploy the easily in Kubernetes is what we like. But most of the time, like other clients are using Cloud Composer, and also when they have new feature, we don't to wait that the features are available in the new version of Cloud Composer. So this is more like tricky.
You're listening to the Data Flowcast, where we unlock the secrets of mastering Airflow for data engineering and AI.
Airflow users, we have exciting news. The annual Apache Airflow survey is live. In just 7 minutes, you can help shape the future of Airflow. And as a thank you for filling it out, you'll get a free Airflow Fundamentals or DAG authoring certification. Those are worth $150 each. Plus, you'll also be entered to win an exclusive workshop with Mark Lamberti, so make sure you don't miss out. The survey link is in the show notes, and it closes December 20th. Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Data Flowcast. I'm your host, Kenton Danis, and today I'm joined by Andrea Bombino, who's co-founder and head of data analytics at Astrify. Andrea, how are you?
I'm good. What about you?
Good. Thanks for joining. Yeah, it's great to have you on. I think last time we spoke, you were recovering from your 100-ish mile running trip around Mont Blanc.
Yes.
How are you feeling now, a couple more weeks removed?
Yeah, now I'm ready back to go running again. And so I'm really happy. It's still crazy how my body is recovering fast. So now happy back to be back in the track.
Yeah, that's great. That's great to hear. For our listeners who are probably not familiar with anything that we're talking about, this is a big trail race in Europe. So Andrea and I are both trail runners, as we discovered at last year's Airflow Summit. But before we go totally rogue and turn this into a running podcast, I guess we can also talk about Airflow. So let's go ahead and dive in. For today's podcast, we're going to be discussing how Astrify uses datasets and PubSub to orchestrate dynamic workflows. Andrea, first, tell me a little bit more about Astrify. What does your company do and what is your role there?
Yes. So basically, Astrify is a company that has been founded in 2022, where we are four ex-colleagues that we, at some point, work together in different projects. And then we understand that we share the same passion about data, but we have different backgrounds. So somebody was like more concerning data scientists and machine learning, someone else, all the DevOps and NetOps infrastructure. And me and the Shadow, that is like CEO, actually, we are more interested in data engineering. So we say, okay, why don't we try to create our own company to see how we can help other people with data in general? 2022, we start to create our own company in Geneva, where the idea was like to found something that was called like the new data model stack, and to help people and client, can be like small startup or a big corporation, in order to ingest data from all the data journey, from the ingestion, the transformation, until a data, like using machine learning, business intelligence, or dashboarding, or whatever is behind the scene. And with having a solid infrastructure and a solid architecture. So like we've seen having all the our knowledge and all our expertise in all this data infrastructure, we could help a lot of people. So we say, okay, we start our own business and now we're up with it. And so basically me, I am head of data analytics, engineering, whatever is just a title. And then basically I'm more concentrated on what we do with the data in the silos of data and transformation from rows system that can be like a legacy database or like a CSV file, whatever tool in the data warehouse. And at Astrify, we are Google partners. So like our main and favorite cloud provider is Google, but we are not like just Google's focus, but is our main focus on Google. But we are open to work with any kind of cloud provider anyway. They are similar and they are not relevant all the time. That we just like different technology behind the scene. Yeah, it's like a nutshell what we do. And all we are using in all the data transformation that we're using different clients. We are using everywhere Airflow. They can be like either instantiation with all instance of Kubernetes cluster and the deployment of Airflow in their own cluster, or using the managed service per separate from Cloud Composer. And then we integrate that one with dbt for the transformation. And that's how we do mainly.
Okay, cool. And so are you helping your clients implement this solution and then they're running with it on their own? Or do you take some form in like the ongoing management of their data pack?
We are doing like not only like setting up, there are different clients. Like in some client, we're just going there, setting up Airflow and like doing the maintenance for them, like when they want to release new Airflow version or like they want to use new features, all this kind of stuff. But at the same time, for example, in different projects, I'm working really daily basis on the client side when they want to do the data transformation within Airflow using any kind of SQL transformation, in this case, like mainly DBT. And I'm there to help them really to do the transformation with Airflow. And so like I see all the pipeline that is going from taking data from the source system, transforming them, and then going to the downstream application. It can be AI or can be just other team, like with this data mesh concept that everybody nowadays is using. So other team that need to have the data that I'm producing for them. And so and there's some time to speak to the stakeholder. Okay, this data needs to be ready at this time, so your own Airflow can be scheduled at this time. So there is, for this reason also is when the topic of data set is Airflow, because we want that the data are ready as soon as possible. So we have different pipeline that we want that are triggered whenever the data are ready. So this is a bit what I'm doing.
Okay, got it. That's helpful background. And so you recently gave a talk at the Airflow Summit back in September on using data sets and PubSub for dynamic DAG triggering. This is a really interesting use case, and I think one that is very applicable. We hear a lot about wanting more event-driven dynamic workflows within Airflow. So walk me through the backstory here and what originally prompted you to explore a solution like this.
Yes. Thank you. Basically, what I've seen in different kind of use case and then also for other internal project, that you want to see like when a DAG is finished transforming the data, we want to have the data that are triggering the DAG, another DAG, for example, from different team or whatever, as soon as possible, as soon as they say before the data are ready. And we could not just use the trigger DAG rules because we want to have like a different semantic, a different logic. And for this kind of stuff, we want to have kind of a notion of real time. So for the reason we use PubSub, and again, PubSub, because as I said at the beginning, we are more focused on cloud, on Google Cloud. And then also as well, our clients are mostly in Google Cloud. So we adopt the solution that are in Google Cloud. And then the technology that when I see that the data set was out as a feature for Airflow, I was okay, now I need to try it because I'm solving the problem that I need. Because basically we have different workflows that are processing different data. And we want that as soon as these different data are updating a data set, the data set are triggering different other workflow behind, let's say the different downstream application. What we do today, I try different approach. And so what we do today is like we have a similar first DAG, let's say, that is like taking the data from the ingestion system, the let's say legacy or like raw system, taking the data, ingest them, and transform them. And then when this transformation is done, we update the data set. Okay. When this data set is updated, then we have another function in Airflow that is triggering a PubSub topic. And then this PubSub topic is triggered whatever the downstream application it is. And most likely what we do since we have different instantiation of Airflow, since we cannot communicate like with different data set from the different instance of Airflow, we use the PubSub topic to say to the other Airflow, okay, you can trigger and run your pipeline. So because we want to say like first the data, as soon as they're ready, we process them. And the downstream application, they don't just query without the data are updated, right? Because what is the use case is sometimes before that the user data set were implemented from my side, the downstream application were just, okay, we ran running query on the table that I provided based on schedule time. And this sometimes was like not working because, okay, I run a query, this is costly, and then second, the data not there. So how we can do that? With that setup, we can resolve the problem. And I adopt data sets since the beginning. And now seeing how this is evolving, I'm really happy to see how the community and Apache Airflow is working at, because there are a lot of features that I'm really willing to use.
Yeah, that makes sense. And so because you've got the Airflow DAGs in multiple different airflow environments that need to be coordinated, that's where you use PubSub, because exactly, as you said, the data sets as they're currently implemented are only listening for updates within their own airflow environments. Yeah. They can't go beyond their own metadata database.
Yeah.
And so that's an interesting way of tying those together.
Exactly. And then as I say that the final part of my talk, like maybe sometimes it was not clear for people that they're not really using that data set. But one thing that for kind of more specific and like detailed like needs, what I'm doing right now is like using like data set and XCOM. So basically when I need to know when a data set is changed and the time, since I don't want to query the database behind the scenes of Airflow because it's like costly and slowly, I just do a combination between dataset and XCOM to understand when the dataset is updated, because all the time I update the dataset, I save this value in an XCOM variable. And then with another DAG, I read this value. Okay, I say, okay, if this dataset is updated within today or based on the logic that I want to use, I then process the data behind. I'm using all the kind of features that are possible in Airflow in order to make it flexible and also like reusable in all different environments.
Okay. So you have another DAG that is responsible for orchestrating the connection between your upstream DAGs and the PubSub that then sends the request to the agents. Okay.
And I was like, as well, I was, without also reading really the documentation of dataset, I was like, when I was trying to use it, like, oh, it could be really cool if the dataset could be used as a schedule of the DAG itself. And when I read the documentation, I was like, okay, I can redo that. I was really happy because the other DAG should not like continue listening like with a sensor operator or whatever. It would just be triggered when the dataset is changed. It changed my life, actually.
Yeah, that's amazing to hear. I think the datasets feature, like one of the big benefits I usually tell people who are newer to Airflow over sensors is that performance aspect of you don't have to have something that's just sitting running. You don't need to know around when it should start so that you can minimize that waiting time as you're just running as part of Airflow.
After like the new adoption of Airflow, like with version 2.9 to 10, I see that there are a lot of like changes that are like with new features of dataset that are really looking forward to try. For example, right now, because depends on the logic of the downstream application that you have. But for example, right now, some customer, they want to say, okay, even though the data are not there, or not all of the data are there, so the dataset is not completely, all the dataset are like the trigger from the Airflow are not ready, I want that my DAG is still running because I don't want to have delay on for my dashboard, whatever. So what I see now is a combination you can combine between dataset and also like the schedule DAG. This is a feature that I think I'm going to use in order to provide like data availability like as soon as possible. And even though like they're like I have a part of data, this one depends as well from the need of the client and the, like the need of the downstream application. Or for example, like another thing that at the moment I don't see a real need in my personal use cases, but the possibility to put like a data set in NAND or in order to trigger or do an action of the DAG, this I think it could be really useful. And then also the data set assets, yeah, I mean, to see also the new UI is like crazy. Also like sometimes, as I said, like I want to trigger the DAG and when a data set is updated, right? And I could not do it manually because if I was triggering the data manually, the data set was not updated, it was not running my flow. But now with the new UI, I could just schedule it and update the data set manually. So this is something that it could also save some time when you want to just schedule the data set and just, okay, you know, just update the data set manually and then the DAG is working as expected.
Yeah, there's definitely been a lot of great updates to the datasets feature, as you said, in the past couple of releases. So your original implementation with the datasets and PubSub combination, I assume then is on a version older than 2.9 at least. Is that right?
Yes, exactly. Yes, exactly. Yeah. Because also we are depending a lot of from the client side when they want to update Airflow, because when they want to update Airflow, they don't want to have like down the system down like minimum production, and some of them they have like only production Airflow running, and so data Airflow depends. If you're able to have our own instance of Airflow, we know that with the M chart that we can deploy the easily in Kubernetes is what we like, but most of the time like other clients are using like Cloud Composer, and they also when they have new feature we need to wait that the features available in the new version of Cloud Composer. So this is more like tricky.
Yeah, upgrading in general is always a tricky topic. I think it's something that a lot of companies struggle with, especially with, as you said, upgrading the providers that go along with the versions, or if you're on a managed service that is taking a little longer to upgrade, that adds an extra consideration. Definitely some exciting stuff has happened with the sets and the recent features, but you still, or at least can benefit from, data sets have been around for quite a while now. I still can run into a lot of people who think they're a newer Airflow feature, which I guess is true in the scheme of Airflow's lifetime, but they have been out for a couple of years now. So I think most of the community that we've seen is running at least a feature where the, or a version, excuse me, where the basic feature should be available.
Yeah, indeed. Also, I was like, I was impressed because when I asked during my talk how many people know data set, there were not many that were knowing the concept of data set or like really using it. So at the end of the talk, I get a lot of questions, like, and I was really happy to answer it because I think that a lot of people can just use the feature that they have because like they can easily really ease your life as a data engineer.
Yeah, it's definitely very flexible. It's, I think me and folks on my team are data set evangelists, especially given, as you said, the developments on the feature and future developments, which I do want to get to in a few minutes. But it's, there are a lot of questions where I think there's just a very easy answer of, oh, you can just use this feature.
Yes. At the beginning, I was also, for me, I was like, okay, I'm a, how can I use data set, but how can I just update the data set? The first question was like, okay, I have the data set concept, but how can I update it? Because actually data set is just a simple object that can be whatever, it can just be a string, whatever. And how can I update that? So how should I do that? At the beginning, I was like, oh, I don't know how to do that. And then there were not a lot of questions, a lot of documentation how to use it. And then like after that, you understand the logic behind. It's really easy to end using within your DAG pipeline. And as I said, you don't need to have a sensor or whatever. You can just use data set in order to do like your logic behind in order to trigger the DAG and like also define a specific logic to understand which part of your DAG flow needs to run. So this is really good.
This episode is brought to you by Astronomer, creators of Astro, the leading fully managed Airflow service designed for the modern data stack. Whether you're orchestrating large language models, implementing a data mesh architecture, or streamlining complex workflows, Astro empowers your team to focus on innovation, not infrastructure. To see how you can maximize Airflow's potential within your data ecosystem, visit www.astronomer.io.
Speaking of updating data sets, one of the new additions to the feature in, I think, 2.9 was the ability to update them using the Airflow API, meaning that you can send that update from somewhere that's not another DAG within the environment. It sounds like this is something that would be useful for the type of use case that you're describing for your clients. Is that something you foresee yourself using when they do get around to upgrading to 2.9 or beyond?
Yes. And like for me, like it would be great that we have this feature, not only like with Airflow API, but I don't know, like have something within your code, within your an operator that can just tell you, okay, I updated the data set. And this could be like really nice. And the other thing that for me today is a pain is like, for example, to retrieve the last date of the last update of the data set. Today, you need to query the database. You cannot, there is not a feature that you can just do it directly. And this something that sometimes for kind of some logic I was needed, and today I was not able to do it. For this reason as well, I'd use the XCOM variable to in order to say, okay, this data set has been updated this time. Or for example as well, it could be great if we have two different instances of Airflow and one from one instance you could update the other data set, the other instance. But for example, I think that if we have the Airflow API, I could just call from the API the data set of the other instance and I could do that. But yeah, a lot of things that are like just describing it, I'm happy, but let's see where it goes.
Yeah, that's something that we recommend as the first option for implementing like a cross-deployment dependency like that is now using Airflow API. For what you're describing, getting the metadata associated with the data set event. I wonder, I don't actually know, but one of the updates in 2.10 was that you can attach metadata to a data set. So when it does get updated, you can pass information with that. I'm curious, I don't actually know whether that would work for what you're describing, but potentially, or maybe a future iteration of that might be helpful.
Yeah, it's true. I read about it, but I should try it, because the time that I read it, I was like, okay, at the moment, I don't think it's going to be helpful for me. But yeah, definitely, I want to try all the different stuff that are around in order to see also, like, because right now, the logic, sometimes the logic that I have is a bit like complex. Let's say complex. For what I want to do is like kind of complex, because there are like different kind of situation. And so, okay, if I could get, for example, this metadata easily, it could be great. But from the moment when I read it, I was not seeing as something that was facilitate the way that I was processing the dataset. But for sure, all the time there is an update, I'm reading all the time about it, because also did what is good as well is I love the UI, like where you can see, for example, because it's not only okay, this done and it's triggered based on the dataset, and this generating the UI. And when I saw it, I was like, oh yeah. I sometimes to understand, to give to the stakeholder how the flow perf is working, I just go in the UI and send a picture and that's all. Because it's really speak-at-leave, mm-hmm. And also now with the time stats, it's going to be even more easy to understand. Yeah, read all the time and reading all the time the updates that are behind, because I think they're going to be more and more useful feature about around the dataset. Yeah.
Yeah, that's great. Where you've implemented this solution with your clients, were they, or maybe it varies, but were they using sensors beforehand? Did they have another airflow solution implemented and it's now better that you've implemented it with data sets, or was it not in airflow at all, or
I was working only with Eastcom variable, but this one was really a mess sometimes that was triggered when it was not needed. And when I start to use dataset, this is the real reason why I see dataset. I was like, okay, this can solve my problem. Because sometimes I get like issue or alert in my like dashboard or logins saying, okay, this data has been triggered. And it was like, it should not be triggered. Why it is triggered? And then I see because some variables were not cleaned up from the day before. This actually was the case where basically I had an Eastcom variable that was setting true or false, but the one was set to true. I could not set it back to false because they were set there for the day before. So there are a lot of different logic that I need to use. And when I see data set and say, okay, this is the thing that I need to use right now. And the things I try, they work out of the box. And then the stakeholder MP also like my logic became more easy. And yeah, so like everybody was happy and me as well. So
that's a great success story.
Yes.
Love to hear that, especially with, like I said, we are data set evangelists over here at Astronomer, and I know there's a lot more development coming for them in Airflow 3, which we're all really excited about. That leads me to my next question, which is I always like to end with the same final question for everybody, and that's, what would you most like to see from development of the Airflow project in the near future?
About data set or in general?
It can be anything.
Well, these are tough questions.
Some people give me lists of 5 things. You can do that too if you want.
Yeah, as I said, for dataset, I would like to be able to change a dataset in another instance easily with the API or even something more sophisticated. I don't have the answer. Otherwise, I was proposing in a merge request or something. But also, like today, what we are facing, we as a society, we're facing the kind of we have like headache is the role accessibility user, because today we need to do this within the UI. And this sometimes is getting a bit blurry, because we want that, for example, some people, they can run specific dance and they have specific action within Airflow. And I think this part can be improved a bit, because their role are like the definition of what the permission they can do a user are not really linked together. It's like the interface is like, because the UI is not like really comfortable to see, because they're 2 different space. And so right now, for example, I'm building a framework for myself where I have a list of all the user with all the rights. And then I'm entering right now, for example, if I want to add a user or if I want to add a role linked to the user, I need this kind of stuff, like I think about role and user, it can be cool from my point of view. And then I don't know, because already from the last year, the UI, the improvement has been done already are really cool. And I think with the Airflow 3.0, we are going to see even more features.
Yeah.
I don't have anything else to add.
Definitely more to come for the UI and 3.0, as well as the data sets feature, I think some of which will probably make it easier to implement those things cross deployment. I'm not sure about the RBAC stuff, whether there's more development there. I think yes. I actually think some of the folks at AWS have been working on an AIP about that. I'd be wrong, but those are all great requests. I will, because I forgot to do it at the beginning, make a plug for, by the time this episode airs, the Airflow survey should be out. This is something we do, or the community does, every year, and is a great way for all of our listeners to make requests such as the ones you've just made for what should be coming in Airflow. It's taken very seriously by the developers, and we would love, obviously, for you, Andrea, to fill it out as well. We'll send a link over, but we'll put a link to it in the show notes for everybody who also has Airflow feedback that they would like to put out into the community.
I remember like last year in the Airflow Summit, there was the session where what you want to add to Airflow. And there was there like a lot of people asking for the new UI stuff. And I think it's what happened afterwards. So I know that all the people behind, when they requested for them, makes sense. They are working with the art to put in place. So yeah, I know that if there's something that they said that could be cool for everybody, it will be done.
Yeah, absolutely. And a lot of the features that are coming in Airflow 3 are the direct result of past surveys and what folks have said at events like that at the Airflow Summit for what they wanted. I think DAG versioning is the very top of the list that everybody has said for forever, this is what we want. And so it is being developed now. All right. Thank you, Andrea, so much for coming on. It's been great to have you. What is the best way for folks to get in touch with you?
You can just like on LinkedIn, you can just add me on LinkedIn. And I'm also in the Airflow Slack channel. And yes, also by email if needed. But I think that LinkedIn and Airflow channel is the best.
Okay, great. And any random runners we might have happened to reach on this podcast, I assume can follow you on Strava or something like that.
Strava or with my UTMB index, whatever. Yeah, when I found you as a runner, I was like really excited. Oh, wow, another person should share my greatness past you.
Yes. You never know when you're going to run into somebody who has the same hobbies as you. So this is another plug for the Airflow Summit, is you can meet people who use Airflow for cool things and also who share entirely crazy hobbies.
I still try to like, because as a sportive guy, I try all the time to see if I can connect Airflow with my kind of data that I have. So I was like, okay, one day we'll do a talk about it, because it's going to be, it could be interesting.
I would love to have you on for another episode to talk about that. But again, I promised not to go entirely rogue into a podcast about running. We'll go ahead and wrap it up there, but it's been really great to talk to you again. And yeah, thanks again for coming on.
Thanks to you.
Thanks for joining us for the latest episode of the Data Flowcast, Mastering Airflow for Data Engineering and AI. You'll find links in the show notes to any resources mentioned in today's show. If you're enjoying our podcast, please subscribe so you never miss an episode, and leave us a 5-star review.